to keep up with her.
Can you top that, Harry Hirschfield?
I'll try.
Can you, Senator Ford?
I didn't even hear him. What did he say?
How about you, Joe Lurie?
I wasn't even listening.
These folks who make jokes bring you another session of Can You Top This? And now for the man who lays down the rules so you can pick up the cash. Ward Wilson.
Thank you, Charlie Stark. Can You Top This is unrehearsed and spontaneous, and our top rule is keep them laughing. Anyone can send in a joke, and if your joke is told by the well-known actor and storyteller Peter Donald, you get $10. Each of the three wits try to top it with another joke on the same subject. Each time they fail to top you, you get $5 more.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer. Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
How are you fellas feeling tonight? All set?
Yes, kind of.
Well, that's good. Seems to be some doubt in the senator's mind. First joke tonight is sent in by Erna E. Nagel of the Bronx, New York, and something with which we're never associated is the topic, quarrels. Quarrels, gentlemen. So, Pete, give this one an argument all the way, will you?
Well, this is about Sadie DeKalb and Gertrude Gowanus, the two Green Point glamour girls. And they were having an awful quarrel one day, and Sadie said, "Listen, Gertrude, you're really so perturbing. Really, after all, I thought we were so close. We went to finishing school together, and I finished the third grade, and you finished the fourth. And gee whiz, I thought we were just as close as Damon and Runyon. We were practically insufferable friends. Gee whiz, and now I find you're not my friend at all. You're just a nasty little snake in the bushes, that's all."
So Gertrude was surprised. She said, "Why, Sadie, what do you mean saying such awful things?"
She said, "Well, it's on account of what you said. My goodness, I told you something very, very personal about a friend, Greer Shapiro. Now, I told you something very personal, and didn't I tell you that that was a secret?"
She said, "Yeah, you did."
She says, "All right, so why'd you have to run right away to Greer and tell him everything I said? That's awful. Honestly, Gertrude, I don't believe you know what a secret is."
She says, "Oh, I do too know what a secret is. A secret is something that goes in one ear and then into another."
850 on the laugh meter for that joke, Ward.
Gives our three wits a little latitude between there and the top, and I see two hands raised. Let's see what Joe Lurie has to say.
Well, a fellow was running out of a house and hollers, "Help, help, help." And finally he yells help so much a cop runs up to him and says, "What's the idea? What's the matter?" He says, "Oh, I just had a quarrel with my mother-in-law." He says, "So what about it?" He says, "Now she wants to jump out of the window." He says, "Well, if your mother-in-law wants to jump out of the window, why don't you let her jump out of the window?" He says, "What do you think I'm hollering help for? I can't open the window."
Very solid, Joe.
1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Tight window.
Miss Nagel holds her original $10, however, and Harry Hirschfield had his hand up second.
Well, here's an old gag that fits at the moment anyhow with the world situation. Fella goes into a restaurant, and he said, "I'd like to have a corned beef sandwich." And the waiter said, "Without what kind of bread do you want it?" The guy said, "Are you nuts? What do you mean without what kind of bread I want it?" He said, I gotta know without what kind of bread you want it. He said, "All right, without white bread." So the guy leaves, comes back in a minute. He says, "You'll have to take it without rye bread. We ain't got no white bread."
900 is the final score in the laugh meter, Ward.
Which tops Miss Nagel's 850 by a very close margin. And so far in this round, we have heard nothing from the senator, and see what he's going to do about Miss Nagel's $10.
I'm not interested in a 10 bucks. As a matter of fact, I'd like to give her some more and probably will. In the contest, then. little Oscar Fotzengoggle's mother and father had a fine knockdown and drag out quarrel, if you want to call it that. It was really one-sided because his mother was doing all the talking, the old man was doing all the listening. He couldn't even get a word in edgewise. He couldn't even get a semicolon in, as a matter of fact. So just about that time, little Oscar ran and he says, Papa, why was Adam created before Eve? Why was Adam created before Eve?" And the old man says, "I'll tell you, my son. Man was created before woman to give the poor lug a chance to say something."
You want to guess first, Senator?
950.
Correct. I don't know.
Ha ha ha!
also tops Miss Daigle's $8.50. So we said Miss Daigle $10.
Don't go away. We'll have another round of jokes in a few moments.
Back to the business of jokes. This one sent in by Mr. T. Murphy of New York City. On the subject of dreams this time, may they all be happy. Dreams. So, Peter, snore through this one, will you?
Maybe. You see, that Pat and Mike met on the street, and Mike, being a very affable fellow, said, hello there, Patty, my boy. How are you this bright and effervescent afternoon?
So he said, how am I? I'm terrible, terrible, terrible. That's all. I'm terrible, terrible, terrible.
He said, well, what's your trouble? I notice your face seems to be so long. You look like you're carrying your bridge work in a snood today. What's wrong?
He says, what's wrong? I tell you what's wrong. I tell you what's troubling me. He says, Wednesday night, I had a dream. Ah, it was a beautiful dream I had. It was all about peaches. And on Thursday night, I had a beautiful dream about apples. And on Friday night, I had a dream about pears. So Saturday being the afternoon off, I went to the races, you know. I'm not much of a gambling man entirely, but sure enough, there in the second race, there were three horses named Peaches, Apples, and Pears.
So he said, well, that's a marvelous hunch. I suppose you put a bet on one of them.
He says, on one of them? On one of them? I put $10 on Peaches to win, $10 on Apples to win, and $10 on Pears to win.
He says, well, did they win?
He says, did they win? He says, for the love of Mike, they're still running. And the horse that won was named Fruit Salad.
Well, you certainly did justice to that one, Peter. 1,000 on the laugh meter.
Automatically giving Mr. Murphy $25, putting you boys out just for the laughs. And on the subject of dreams, the senator had his
hand
up.
I'll take a chance and follow Pete's 1,000. Wouldn't make any difference anyway. This one was in the Reader's Digest. I'll try to tell it as well as I can remember it. A very charming little old spinster, she was over 70 years old, went to the doctor and stated her ailments, both real and imaginary. But what she was most interested in was that she had a recurring dream in which a handsome young man made violent love to her. So the doctor was duly sympathetic and... He said, I'll see that you sleep better. He said, I'll give you some powders. Well, in about 3 days, she came back, and she was still very woeful. And he said, don't tell me you didn't sleep any better. She said, yes, that's just it. I'm sleeping too well. Doctor, do you know I certainly miss that young man? Blame it on a Reader's Digest.
Well, you missed the top by just 250, Senators.
750 on the laugh meter for that joke, Ward.
Which doesn't top Mr. Murphy's 1,000, of course. And, Harry, I think you were second.
Well, here's a pretty good commentary on the world situation. Churchill, Truman, and Stalin met for their meeting at Tehran. And Churchill said, I had a peculiar dream last night. I had a peculiar dream that I became Prime Minister of the whole world. And Truman says, that's a funny thing. I dreamt I became president of the whole world. Stalin looked up and says, I don't remember appointing you gentlemen.
Good going, Harry. The laugh meter says 1,000.
Now we turn on the faucet of another joke here, and this one sent in by John W. Lynch of Brooklyn, New York, on the subject of gambling this time. Gambling.
Can I use that apple salad?
Yeah, Pete, I hope you come up with a natural.
Well, some fellas were having a little poker party one afternoon, and everything was going fine. They were playing cards and doing pretty good until all of a sudden one of them jumped up, and he says, Herkimer, he says, you dirty crook, you're cheating. You're not playing the cards I know I'm dealing you. So the other guy protested, and they get in a big fight, and they make such a racket that the cop on the beat hears that he comes in, he breaks up the gambling party, and boy, they're all hailed into court. So the judge gets them all up there, and he says, gentlemen, he says, this is a very serious charge. He says, but what I want to know is, what were you doing gambling in the afternoon? Why weren't you working on your jobs?
So one guy said, well, I was on the job, Your Honor. He said, I had nothing to do with this. See, I'm a plumber. I was just in that apartment fixing a pipe.
So the judge looked a little dubious, but he looked around. He pointed his gavel at another guy. He said, all right, you, what's your occupation?
This kind of a goofy guy says, me? Judge, I'm a locksmith.
He says, you're a locksmith, huh? Well, what were you doing when the police broke into the room?
He says, me? I was making a bolt for the door.
Might that be a bad idea, Pete? A gesture with the feet on the door added another 200.
650 is what the laugh meter registered, Ward.
Boys have plenty of latitude now. You can really toss them around. However, he has $10 to start with. And, Senator, I think your hand was raised first.
Well, I know another finish for that gag that Pete just told. Maybe it'd be just as good, I don't know. Well, anyway, the gag, as I remember it, way back, was about the same gambling incident. And this fellow was brought up before the judge, and the judge said, what's your name? And he said, Smith. He said, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a locksmith. The judge says, locksmith up.
Is that your sole contribution or just to show us what Pete...
How did it do?
Look. Look.
That's it.
Senator Ford's perpetual 950 once again. Well, let's see who else we have in here. How about you, Joe?
Yeah. Mr. Epstein had his son in front of him. He's saying, he's so mad. He says, Montgomery, you're a bum. You're a dope, you're a bum. He said, what's the matter, Daddy? He says, what's the matter, Daddy? What's the matter, Daddy? You're gambling. You'll turn out to be a no-good bum. A dope, you lose your money. He says, oh, Pop. He says, oh, Pop, oh, Pop. I say, you're a gambler, you should cut it out. He said, but, Pop, listen. He says, I only gamble for small stakes. He says, oh, if it's for something to eat, I don't mind.
Were you holding hands with the senator then, Joe?
Only 950 is what the laugh meter says, Ward.
Well, oh, also topping Mr. Litch at 650, still hanging on to that $10 tenaciously. And, Harry, we haven't heard from you yet.
I'm going to tell you a true story. This is about a fella named Max of the Stage Delicatessen. This is on the level. He likes to go to the races, so he's rushing to Jamaica with his car, and he's speeding along, and a cop grabbed him. Says, get over there. What's the matter with his speed? Where are you going? He says, I'm awful sick. I'm sick. He said, don't give me that stuff. You're sick. You're going to play the races. He says, certainly I'm going to play the races. Oh, is that a sickness?
Take a look, Harry. Everybody's shaking hands now because that joke also got 900. Well, sad news for Mr. Lynch, but good news for you three tying each other.
We'll be right back with our next round of jokes after these few commercial words.
Sent in by Irene Sokolner of Trenton, New Jersey. Oh, my old hometown. I was born there. This is on the subject, I hate to comment on this, age. Age, gentlemen. Not anything to do with the jokes, I hope. So, Peter, see how well you can do by Trenton, New Jersey.
Well, it seems that Mrs. Papufny got on a trolley car. Mrs. Papufny got on the trolley car, and she had her son with her, but she just put one nickel in the box, and she had the kid by the hand. They started for seat. So the conductor said, hey, lady, how about the kid? How old is he? She ignored him.
She said, come, darling, find the seat for Mama Geronimo. Come on.
So the conductor said, hey, lady, did you hear me? How old is that boy?
She says, don't pay any attention to the man, darling. He's trying to flirt with your mama. A nasty man trying to flirt like that. When you grow up someday, you'll come back here and you'll punch his transfer for him.
The conductor said, when he grows up, he says, holy cow, that kid is so old, he could have gone sledding on San Juan Hill. He says, tell me, how old is that Champagne Charlie you got with you there?
So she says, Geronimo, darling, don't pay any attention. Just sit nice and quiet and don't throw away your lollipop yet. Remember, we're still on daylight saving time.
So the conductor walked over to her. He says, listen, lady, are you deaf? I asked, how old is that kid? Now, when's his birthday? So for Fufnik, she turned around and she said,
so what do you got to know for? You want to give him maybe a birthday party?
900 is the final score in the laugh meter award.
Did that time get a 50 up there also?
No, the 50 isn't ignited. Or lit up, shall we say. I hate that phrase, lit up. Mr. Sokolner now has $10. You boys have a little latitude there to top her. And, Senator, I think your hand was up first once again.
Yeah, well, Pete's gag kind of reminds me of one that worked on my favorite railroad, the Wrong Island Railroad. You know, the commuters, not the commuters so much, but most of the people who travel aren't always complaining that the trains are late and so forth and so on. Well, one day, the conductor was picking up the tickets about halfway up on the island, and a woman handed him a full fare and a half fare. And he said, what's that half fare for? She said, my boy here. So the conductor looked at this big lummox and he says, a boy? He's no boy, he's a man. She says, well, he was a boy when this train started.
Looks like tie score, Senator.
900.
Tying Mrs. Sokolner's 900. Therefore, she has $15 now due to your generosity. And, Harry, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. A little kid about 8 years old, a little Bobby Socker, goes into a store, and she's looking at the perfume counter. And she sees all the perfumes there, but all she sees there is a bottle called My Sin and I Surrender. So she says, manager, have you got something for a beginner?
He has the same disease on this particular round. Mrs. Sokolner probably is very happy because that ups her ante another $5, makes her now holding $20. And Joe, let's
see
what you do.
Fellow goes into an antique store. He looks around a while. He says, fellow there says, what can I do for you? He says, I'm just browsing around. He says, well, I can show you something. What do you want? He says, look around, something old. That's my hobby, antiques. And he says, well, this is the place. He says, can I interest you in a good bed? He says, yes. Have you got something different? He says, oh, I got a bed. An antique. And he takes him back to the store. He says, here's a bed, he says, that Julius Caesar and George Washington slept in. He says, what? He says, Julius Caesar and George Washington slept in that bed. He says, oh, that's impossible. Julius Caesar and Washington slept in that bed. He says, what's the matter? It's a double bed, ain't it?
Well, it's almost unbelievable, but there it is. Another 900 on the makes of a unanimous 900 round that time. So for Miss Sokolner's benefit of Trenton, New Jersey, we inform her that she's now the possessor of $25. Well, fellas, we have about 2.5 minutes here at our disposal. I don't think we can quite get another full round of stories in unless we work awfully fast. Don't know just what you've been dreaming up over the past week. You might talk over. In a little clown table discussion.
Well, Harry reads the newspapers. He knows what's
Well, what can you talk on a night like this
except... Say, Harry, excuse me a minute. What did we all get on that last round, Ward?
900.
Everybody?
Everybody.
Wait a minute, I got another gag on age. Maybe something can happen here, you know? Dopey Dildock was keeping company with a girl, and he said, do you know, I wish I was born in the dark ages. She said, so do I. You look terrible in the light.
I still want to talk about the heat. I heard a screwball gag today. I got to tell it. Fella, you know, they say you're hot and bothered. More tempers are lost during the heat than any other time. So a fella's telling, he says, two fellas are walking in the hot sun. And all of a sudden, one fella went berserk. And he pulled out his revolver, and he shot 6 bullets into the other guy. And all 6 bullets went right to his body. He said, did he die? He says, no, he was saved by the cross ventilation.
Look at the laugh, right back to 900 again.
You know, every time you talk about heat, it reminds me of Judge Wallace C. Kelly's gag. He tells about how hot it was in Texas. He says, it was such a hot day, I saw a bulldog chasing a rabbit, and they were both walking.
Tell one the reverse of that. The reverse of that on weather. Remember the husband who was comfortably seated in the house, and his wife said, Sam, close the window, it's cold outside. So he gets down, he slams down the window and said, now it's warmer outside.
Teacher said to a little boy who was kind of backward, she said, do you know when I was your age, I could name all the presidents of the United States? He said, well, when you were my age, there were only three or four of them. It's another one for age.
Join us again next week. Same time, same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Senator Ford.
Joe Laurie Jr.
David Warfield.
That's about how old you are, Peter.
Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long, and take care of yourself until we meet again next time.